We seek refuge of Allah from our own weaknesses, faults, and errors. All praise is due to Allah who sent down upon us his book most clear and later revealed in his last ayat. This day I have completed for you your way of life and completed my blessings and my favor upon you and chose Al-Islam as your way of life. All praise is due to Allah who united the hearts of the believers with Al-Islam and had made it an obligation to remain united and has made it forbidden to become separated in his clear book. I advise you as well as I advise myself first to have regard, consciousness, awareness, taqwa for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey him. Dear Muslim believers, again, I greet you. Assalamu alaikum. Eid Mubarak. And Juma Mubarak. And I'm going to try to get the Facebook page up one more time. I don't know why. Nah. Is it saying I'm live right there?
Yeah.
And I know I put it on public.
It says live.
We're going to hold on. SubhanAllah. I know it's on public. We not on West. Allah's the best knower. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. إنما المؤمنين الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم تليت إليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وإلى ربهم يتوكلون. صدق الله ودين. It is, I seek refuge of Allah against the shaitan and reject it. The translations or expression is as follows. Believers are only those whose heart tremble with awe whenever God is mentioned, and whose faith is strengthened whenever his messengers are conveyed unto him, and who in their sustainer place their trust. Surely Allah speaks the truth. Today's khutbah title, inshallah, again, amongst my thought pattern of the Quran is an ideology today, is behavior of a believer. Behavior of a believer. We have reported hadith on authority of Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, who said, the Prophet, the prayers and the peace be upon him, said, Allah the Almighty said, I am as my servant thinks I am. I am with him when he makes mention of me. If he makes mention of me to himself, I make mention of him to myself. And if he makes mention of me in an assembly, I make mention of him in an assembly better than that. And if he draws near to me an arm's length, I draw near to him a cubit. And if he draws near to me a cubit, can we put that on mute? A cubit, I draw near to him in a phantom. And if he comes to me walking, I go to him at speed. Now we are thankful for the guidance and the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. This is still, you know, like I said, under the mindset of Quran as an ideology. And we're going to look at what is in the Quran that should shape us. When we look at our current situations, we look at the celebration of humanity today. And it's a subject that's addressing, today's subject is addressing what humanity should be doing. When Allah opens up this eye with the mumininu, this is they masculine plural. And it's addressing a certain group that includes believers. Again, those believers who are secure and unwavering in their beliefs, not that something cannot move them or cause them to look at their faith, but in this word is that firm, solid belief. But it is not just one. It becomes a group. And I titled this khutbah the behavior of believers because it is addressing believers, you know, when it is a plural, which makes it a group. But we have to realize that this means that each one must be dealing with his or her own beliefs, his or her own faith. And we can be in the room together and we have different levels of faith. But one thing we have agreed upon is that we do have some faith. We do have a belief. This is the beauty of Allah's words in the Quran. We can look at them and go into the layers of them. So this word means safety. When you're sure about something, you are safe from attacks. You know, the attacks that can happen from those who are not sure about it or maybe sure about the way they believe. And I'm speaking in terms of those who are unbelievers. I mean, we do understand that for the last few months and throughout history, there have been two main players. The believers and the unbelievers. And you can call it good versus evil, right against wrong. However you want to look at it, it breaks down to the same thing. And now that we have, you know, we do have quite a few that kind of straddle that fence, you know, but when it's all said and done, they will have to pick a side, you know, either here or in the hereafter. And what we have chosen for ourselves after being guided by Allah is to try to be believers. Not just any believers, but as Allah opens up the ayat, believers are only those whose hearts tremble with awe whenever God is mentioned. Here we have one of the behaviors of a believer. When they have certain conditions, they react a certain way. But first, let me go back one ayat. Now, remember this. I'm sorry, and I don't know if I address this. You know, we've kind of been dealing with a lot going on at the beginning of the Jummah. But this is Surah 8, ayat 2 is the ayat for today. So I'm gonna go back one ayat, and that'd be the first ayat of the surah. When the opening of the surah comes, Allah is addressing the spoils of war. And he is telling Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam how to address those who ask about it because they are, you know, more concerned with the spoils of victory than they should be about what they should be worried about. And when he, you know, Allah ends the ayat, Allah says, the whole ayat is, they ask you about the bounties. Say, the bounties is for Allah and the messenger. So fear Allah and amend which is between you and obey Allah and his messenger if you should be believers. So I had to go back, you know, this for a big reason, because the title of this surah is Al-Anfal, an Anfal, right? The spoils of war. Now remember, I just said that our history as man, and really what we've been going on, you know, it's been a war. It's been a war. Good and evil has been a war. Man versus Shaitan is a war. So there are spoils of war. We're talking about being a believer. Allah, in today's topic's ayat, will give us the conditions of a believer. But he tells us something very key in this ayat before about getting to those conditions. He says, wa aslihu tata fahta bainikum, and amend that which is between you. So this word salaha, it means to amend, but it also means to put in order, right? It comes in the form 4 in this ayat, and it means that it's the primary cause of something. It means if we should become a believer, then we have to first fix what ails our own souls. I remember going to funerals. I'm sure all of us can remember. And I'm not going to bring up that my favorite song. If there can be anything favorite about a funeral, is going back to Yonder. But at the funeral, you can always count on somebody saying, you better get your house in order. I don't care where you at in the country. Somebody's going to get up and say, you better get your house in order. Allah is telling us, remember, it opens up with basically telling us, don't worry about the spoils of war, right? You need to worry about getting right with yourself, right? Getting right what you claim. You need to put yourself in the right order. And I will admit that when I took my Shahada tank, it was like I had just put my foot in the pool. You know, I didn't jump in right away, much less jump into the deep end. I got my foot wet. You know, I said, okay, this is where I want to swim. But over time, in very, very quick time, I realized that if I'm going to be claiming this, then I need to get my act right. So even though Allah tells us right here in the Quran, in the first ayat of Surah 8, how many only think this is about, you know, who gets the spoils of war? When the ayah starts off talking about the spoils of war, that takes everybody, I mean, bling, right? Everybody sees the shiny stuff, so it takes the attention. And this little smooth piece of advice that Allah has given us just sort of slides right past a lot of us. I mean, this could be an ayah all by itself, in my opinion. Allah telling us to overhaul, rebuild, to make amends, improve on. This is so important for today's khutbah that I had to include it. Rather, you know, I was guided to include it. When you amend something, you're making it more accurate, right? More up to date. When you rebuild something, you are building it again after it has either been damaged or even destroyed. This is what we have to overcome as a people who were stripped of our history, who have been damaged to the core of our being, who have been destroyed over so many years that there was a cause. Remember, I said this song before, there was a cause to how this happened. And now there is a cause in what needs to be done to correct it. This is why when we look at this, we see the individual, but we also can see the total of the group. If one of us is still damaged, still needs repair, then we have not all been repaired, right? Because Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, none of you will believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. So if we want the best for our community, which is also humanity, you know, our covenant is not with us, not just for us. It is for all of humanity. Muhammad, the peace upon him, was sent not just to one set of people, he was sent to all of humanity. So our mission is to be a part of humanity, fixing themselves, rebuilding themselves. But first we have to work on ourselves. Allah says, and amend that which is between you. That between is bayyinah, to be distinct or clear. It also means to clear up. You know, when you come between something, you separate it. Allah is telling us that, telling us to get into that correct condition, to have believer behaviors, then you need to come between what will hold you back and what will set you free. Fix what is ailing in your soul, in your spirits. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban. Amin. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alright, 33. Behavior of a believer. Behavior of a believer. Now, I bring up hearts because we go back to the ayat number 2. Believers are only they whose hearts tremble with awe whenever God is mentioned. It is they whose hearts, kulb. And I mentioned, you know, for the last couple of weeks that the heart in the Quran has three different words for it. All right. So the kulb, it means movement. The root means to turn a thing or change a direction. When Allah tells us that we have to fix ourselves of what is between us and faith, not just a little faith, but the real strong, no doubt about faith, then we must be willing to and able to turn our hearts. We must be able to return our hearts to the factory settings that we came with as a baby, right? When we were born, right? Now, this is what the Hajj stands for. When you go counterclockwise, and we know that this season was tragically altered by the pandemic, but this is why we say and we understand that we don't worship the house. We worship the Rabb of the house. Okay? The house is a symbol for all of humanity. When we go backwards, you're undoing all of that stuff. all that baggage, removing all of that that has dragged you down, that weighs heavy on your heart. The Hajj is a chance to come out brand new as humanity. Hajj is the greater victory. And when you come out, you're a new person. If you're there to commit it to the goal of unifying humanity, you have a new life. And once we have done that, then we can get into the condition where we are now believers. Again, not that something won't rock the boat, shake the tree. But when it does, this is when our hearts feel it. When we have entered that condition of a believer, whenever Allah is mentioned, we feel it. They use mentioned. But this word is dhikra. And we know it means remembrance. Dhikr. Dhikr, right? We've heard this word a thousand times, millions of times. But now, we have it with the meaning of mentioned. When Allah is mentioned. But let us look at the action of it. When something is mentioned, this means to refer to something briefly and without going into detail. Like a thought. This is what Allah is pointing to. Having just a thought. So now what I want everyone to do in this class is to just clear your minds. Just for a second. This is what Allah instructed us to do. Clear it up, right? Clear your mind. Clear your hearts. This is what Hajj represents. So now think of nothing else. Just go blank for 1 second, and I'm going to say, Allah. Now, what happened? What happened when you heard the word Allah? What did your body do? What did your mind do? What did your heart do? Remember, the qalb is what Allah tells us makes the reaction. Imam Muhammad, radiallahu anhu, he said, the heart is the key to God. So if that is the key to God, there must be something locked up. We know some people do things and we know their hearts are not in it. This is because it's locked up. If Allah is telling us that when he is thought of, just a thought, when he is remembered, and even for the slightest of seconds, there will be a reaction from the believers in their hearts, which unlocks what's holding them back. How do we react when we hear the call for salat? Oh, there's a reaction. Now think, the call of salat is Allah being mentioned. How does our hearts react? For the believer, it means our hearts can become in awe and tremble, right? This is what they've used in some of the translation. The word is wajilat. And sometimes it's translated fear. But it also means to feel quick. As soon as we hear Allah, what is it that happens? It should happen as soon as we hear Allah and think Allah every time Allah comes to our senses. And I say that because we can watch a report, we can read something, and when it touches us, then that's the feeling we should have for Allah. We should feel something so quick when we think of or read or hear Allah that our heart should, you know, dip, right? Our heart should skip a beat. Right? You know that phrase, when I saw you, my heart skipped a beat. When we have truly understood how important it is to get ourselves in the right condition, for us to get our mind right, we have to get our hearts right first. Right? It is the key that will unlock whatever we're in, whatever we're dealing with. If we are damaged, our heart can be the key to Allah. If we are destroyed, the only key is to Allah. Is through what? Allah says, Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves. Until they change the way they feel about something, right? Until we get ourselves individually and together amended, corrected, rebuilt. We're on the actions of the heart. This cult, it's the movements. When we have something good, it moves. When something bad happens, it moves. The heart is the key for the right condition. Allah has given us clues to figure that out. That heart is what tells us how we feel about some things and you know, in our lives. Our minds can lead us wrong about a lot of things. But when our heart is involved, then we have a real clear understanding of how we feel. This is why there's a difference between brothers and sisters. Sisters, most of the time, they're always going on that feeling, that intuition, how they feel about something right off the bat. And so a lot of times they're right about some stuff that we're going to be wrong about. I'm going to admit it. Hopefully, you know, give me an extra, you know, egg in the morning or something. But I will admit it. Imam Muhammad, right around, he said, the heart is the door for the brain. He said, the good condition of our heart stimulates the brain. So if our brain can lead us wrong in some instances, this means that it can do that without the heart. It doesn't need the heart to take us to the wrong conclusion or something. What that tells us is that sometimes, you know, we have these feelings, oh, I don't want to read the Quran today. What's telling us that? That is what Allah is telling us to amend, to fix, to correct. We have to fix how we think. And for us to do that, we have to work on what we believe. The heart is that door. You know, it's like you got a door to your brain from your heart. Do you want a small little pet trap door? Or do you want one of them big aircraft hangar doors that aircrafts go through? It's up to those who have and are working on themselves. How does the heart help us think? The heart gives us feelings. And when it comes to Allah, if we can move from a point A to a point B, it is going to be through our heart. It will lead to the brain. So when we think about Allah, we will have a different outlook. Right? In the opening report of Hadith, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Allah the Almighty said, I am as my servant thinks I am. I am with him when he makes mention of me. And if he makes mention of me to himself, key, to himself, I make mention of him to myself. And if he makes mention of me to in an assembly, I make mention of him doing an assembly better than that. And I didn't use the whole thing, but I just needed what was needed for the day. That is the important part of that report is saying. Allah is going to be just what we think he is. Period. If we think not so much, then that's what Allah is going to be. If we let other things become more important than that, that's how he'll be for us. When we think so much, not just about Allah, but for Allah. And let me say that again. If we learn to think not just about Allah, but think for Allah. This means all of our actions, all of our intentions are for Allah. And I do not believe that Allah wants us sitting on a rock somewhere with dhikr beads. And that's all we're doing is dhikr. We're not engaging the world. And we're not, if that's what he wanted us to do, then he would not have told us. But seek through that which Allah has given you, the home and the hereafter, but do not forget your share of this world. We have to have that balanced approach to this life. Yes, our minds need to be able to think of Allah in the highest of regards. This is why taqwa is programmed in our DNA. But the best taqwa is what? Right consciousness. Right conduct. Conduct, you know. That means actions. It's how we behave. This means we have to be moving. Our hearts move when we feel Allah. You know, dhakrullah is a feeling of Allah. When we say Allah or hear Allah or read anything or anything we do, it should be with the feeling of Allah is with this. This is why the heart is involved, because it is the pumping that the heart does and the moving that is how we should be for Allah, right? The heart is a symbol of our faith. It is the connection for our soul. Our faith moves, right? It is not set at 68 degrees in the summer and 72 in the winter. It's not set at that. Our faith has to move. Sometimes it needs to go up higher than normal, and sometimes it comes down lower than normal. This is what faith is. Allah says, and whose faith is strengthened whenever his messages are conveyed unto him, unto them. These messages, his ayah. The word ayah, it means signs, it means revelations. And for the last 5-6 months, we've been given one big sign. It has been revealed to us. Have our hearts not been in awe of all that has gone on in the last few months? Have we not even just for a little bit felt different about Allah now? And his control and his power? The section I just read, you know, of that ayat has ayat, but it also has tuliyat. Tuliyat, right? Conveyed, are conveyed, or are recited. You know, I taught on this the last khutbah. The same word. This word means more than just a verbal action. Look around and ask yourself, have these signs been revealed loud enough, but not yet one word was said? What we're seeing in the world has, the whole world is listening. The whole world is listening. And Allah didn't need to speak at all. But we see it. We hear it. We noticed it. You know, this word also means to declare. You know, our faith should be strengthened whenever his messages are declared to us. If our faith has not increased over all of this that has gone on, then go back to Ayat 1 and get to working on something inside of us. I'm speaking in general, regardless of the faith a person believes, because the Bible says, worship the Lord in holy splendor, tremble before him all the earth. The world is firmly established and it shall never be moved. If these signs are not making you feel something and you're not stronger for this, then there is some work that we must do. We have been shown that man cannot fix everything. We've been shown that man can't fix nothing if it is not what God plans to be done. The whole thing would have been gone before it got here if man had the power. Because it's a hoax. It ain't really happening. But that don't work saying abracadabra. Only thing, I've never seen abracadabra work. Never. They think they have the power, right? That's the problem with man. They think they have the power. They think, you know, that's what they really believe, that they got, they're all powerful. They think they can fix anything. That's that shaitan arrogance. This is why Allah tells us, indeed, we offered to trust to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, and they declined to bear it and feared it. But man undertook to bear it. And indeed, he was unjust and ignorant. We see that we can be under some bad conditions for the wrong reasons. But if we are truly understanding how we should feel about Allah, how we should be looking at these, his signs, his messages, and we do not just need the Quran to get the ayahs. The whole world is an ayah. This is why the Quran is an ideology, because it is in it that we develop how we feel about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we learn to feel the signs of Allah, how we feel about our faith moving just like the heart moves. Can you imagine that our faith, if our faith was pumped blood like the heart does, what it could do for us? The heart pumps 70 times a minute. That's 4,200 times an hour. That's over 100,000 times a day. What if we brought Allah to our hearts every pump? Every pump of our heart. So look at the symbols in this. How secure could we be if all this stuff that's going on and all the fear out there, all the chaos out there, the straight darkness out there, that if we have our hearts increasing our faith on every pump? It's not unrealistic, because Allah has just given this to us in the Quran. This is how we make our way of life our way of life. We learn how to incorporate the Quran and what it has for us into our every pump. Our heart gives us life. But if every time this happens, then the next thing, if every time this happens, the next thing that happens is in their sustainer, they place their trust. Believers will learn to, without any hesitation, that Allah has the power. This is wakil, protector, friend. It's the ultimate place we can, where we can trust Allah. That's the end game. We have to get to the point where we realize that we need to work on ourselves. What we do to work on ourselves, and how we begin to work on ourselves. We have to get to that point. And if we are to become believers, and for us to be the believers, then we have to feel something in our hearts. And the last thing I'll say, Imam Muhammad, radiallahu anhu, he said, the heart gives the brain the kind of support it needs to stay straight and obedient to God. The heart gives the brain the kind of support it needs to stay straight and obedient to God. So the mustaqim and the sabilillah are straight. One takes you forward and one takes you up, but they're straight. And in the first ayat, it says, and obey Allah and his messenger if you should be believers. Let our hearts lead us to be believers who feel the presence of Allah in every pump of life during our day. Who will think about Allah in the correct way. Who will obey Allah, obey the Quran, obey his messenger, and use the tools to gain the trust and rely solely on Allah. You know, we have each other. But we have been shown that we need Allah to get us through all of this. And to do that, we must have the right conditions in all areas of our lives. Then these will give us the correct. We do all that, then we will, that will give us the correct behavior of a believer. Now, inshallah, I have given something today which all benefits do, and if there are any errors, of course, I am responsible for, and I make dua, and I make ask Allah to forgive me for our interruptions at the beginning, not being able to make sure we handled that correctly. That's my fault, on me. I'm not blaming nobody, and I apologize if I ask y'all to be quiet or anything like that. I apologize to you all. I was just trying to respect the Juma. I should have told her to make sure she knew that she had to come in and be quiet. That was my fault. So what I'm going to do is Eid. We have you had the 5 days to celebrate, and I know it's going to be kind of tripped out to celebrate under these circumstances, but we kind of did it with the first Eid. What I'm going to do for my dua that I'm going to end with. Yesterday we had the prayer gathering at Bailey Park. It is in the Winston-Salem Journal. The article, some pictures. I was able to deliver a prayer. And this prayer that I did yesterday is only 3 minutes. And I'm going to read it as our dua today. It is on knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding is the topic that I was given. And I believe now, let me say this before I'm going to read this and then we're going to make the prayer. But I want to make sure I mention that for those that are coming. As soon as Jumu'ah is over with, come on. I don't want to hear y'all. I don't want to come. I don't want to hear none of that. We got what we have for y'all earlier. We have it here now. It's ready for you all. Don't let me have to come looking for you, because I will. So, but come on to the masjid as soon as we get done with the salat. All right, inshallah. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We call on the Creator to whom belongs the most beautiful of names. We call on the Creator coming as humble servants. We seek protection with God from the ills that engulf the lands. We praise him with sincere hearts, seeking his guidance in these times of ignorance and darkness, as he is the eternal light. It is through the light of God that our intellect can take our experiences of the past and allow us to use them to learn from and better shape our futures. We pray to God that he opens our minds to learn from the lessons that this life has taught us, that we move forward from them in the best of ways. We pray God grants us knowledge that will turn our world into the vision of humanity that best shows the beauty of our creation. that shows the beauty of God's plan. God says in the Quran, He gives wisdom to whom He wills, and whoever has been given wisdom has certainly been given much good, and none will remember except those of understanding. God says in the Bible, wisdom is as good as an inheritance, an advantage to those who see the sun. We pray to God that we turn that knowledge we have been given into the gift of wisdom. Wisdom not to see our moral life separate from our rational life, but to see that our spirits are that of God's will. We pray for the wisdom to deal with our issues in the best of intentions for the good of all. We pray that the excellence in us is allowed to come out and manifest itself when we look at each other, when we talk to each other, and when we work with each other. We pray that we become mindful of God, who has domain over all that exists. We pray for understanding. We must never again not be unaware of Allah, of God, and conscious of God and His plan for humanity. We pray to God that He gives us the understanding that will take not just one prayer, but many prayers for the same relief we seek, for the same outcomes we pursue, and for the same goals we have. That is going to be one mindset that changes the world. One mindset that sees the best in our fellow human beings. One mindset that places the importance of the conditions of our minds as we are naturally in our creation, spiritual beings. Where we have the understanding that if one of us is not well, none of us can be well. Where we have accepted the wisdom that we should want for our brothers what we want for ourselves. We humbly seek God's acceptance of our prayers. May God continue to protect, guide, and bless us and those with us in good mental health. May we not go astray in our task. Ameen. Iqamatu salat.